Well, good morning to you all. It is a cooler Sunday morning, a little dreary. I hope you all are wide awake. I've been seeing some yawns. I just saw two more. And we'll have to get you all to stand up from time to time this morning. I was sitting up here in the front for just a moment. We don't sit up here too often, and I saw a few more yawns. So there's been, I am thankful to meet together in the assembly. We talked about the temple a few times this morning, and this is the new building of Christ, and it's the body of Christ, and so we're gathering in that this morning, and I'm thankful for that. I have been working on a sermon. I've had a few messages on the church, and I think many more could be preached, but I have one more that I plan to preach. And that is the church and its organization. And just to think about that, because we were encouraging church as a family and so on. Church as a body. And I'm not planning to bring that message this morning because it's not done yet. I just need more time. But Lord willing, 2 weeks from now, I'm planning to do that. It's something that I want to handle carefully as we think about the church. So, sort of a unique way to introduce a sermon, but I plan to bring a sermon here this morning that I've preached a couple of weeks ago. It was a subject title that I was given, and it's one that I believe I have a burden for, and it's one that I need. It has to do with technology, and this morning, just the subject is naturally not one that gives us, oh, this is going to be wonderful. I can't wait to hear it. It just isn't that way, is it? But I think it is something that all of us face very, very closely. And so many of us, you know, have this tool in our pocket. And we use it for so many things. The title that I was given was Technology, Church or Parental Responsibility. And that's what I was given, church or parental responsibility. And as I thought about it, I think we can answer that question quite easily. Or I'd like to just answer the question that comes to me, well, which is it, or how do we understand it? There's not a dichotomy between the two. It's not one or the other. It is the responsibility of both. There is church responsibility as we look at what is coming at us in the world. There is personal responsibility, and there's absolutely parental responsibility as it relates to technology. That is something I think we can understand. So, both authority and leadership structures must and should be working together to find a good way, a responsible way, through the ever-changing landscape of information and communicative technology. Now, you'll notice I did not say a safe way. I said a good way. This life journey, our lives today, are fraught with peril. And communicative technology has only increased the possibilities of that peril. I think it has expanded the possibilities of that peril. And so I believe that as fathers who care for the souls of their children, those fathers should not be left to stand alone, to navigate through the perplexing and the fast-paced technological world. And so, yes, parents are going to be looking for help, and the church should give them that help. I believe that. I also believe the church should not be looked upon as the entity with all the answers. That's, I believe, an incorrect view as well. The system, or providing the system which everybody should sign up to and manpower to make it happen. I don't think that's really the responsibility of the church either. I think there's some obvious flaws in each of these extremes. So I want to consider some responsibilities that sort of fall into the two categories this morning. I want to consider that. But first of all, I think I'd like to also think about just stop for a moment and think about what we're facing in today's world. I would like us to think about what I'm facing in today's world. I don't know exactly what you face, but I think we do face a lot of similar. We can face the just getting caught up with the fast-paced, phone in hand at all times, communication, whether it be with friends, family, or workers. We can get caught up with news and opinion that just floats endlessly. We can get caught up with you just wanting to know what all of our friends and family and people who we don't even know that well. Yeah, we can get caught up with following the YouTubers. And so all of those things, in some way, we can get caught up with wasting lots of time. And some of those things in some way come into almost all of our lives. And it is, so there's multiple layers to this conversation. And one is, you know, just the thing of good, better, best. And like, it would be better if we could reduce the amount of time that we would spend on technology. That's an appropriate discussion. But then there's also the evil side of it, where we actually, bring darkness into our hearts, where we actually are cultivating our senses in ways that just don't help us. They don't help us to be freer. They don't help us to be closer to God. They don't help us to be lighter people, people of light, those kinds of things. So those pieces can come into our hearts and get a hold of us as well. I've often wondered, Jesus there in John 17, as he prayed what we call the high priestly prayer. And he said, Father, I'm not asking you to take them out of this world, but I'm asking you to keep them from the evil that's in this world. And I really wonder what all he saw. Where did his mind go? Like, how far did it travel? And I can only believe that Jesus had the possibilities of not only considering the pressures that the disciples and him were facing there that day, but he had the ability, I believe, to see to the very end of time, whenever that is, and just think about that span of history and people and the assaults of the enemy that they'll face. And so I wonder, what did he see for our time? What came to his mind? I don't have an answer to that. I'm just asking the question. Well, the internet, it's just a recent phenomenon of in the history of mankind, really. As far as communicative changes go, it's by no means the first. The change from oral to written society. You know, Moses, as we understand it, gathered together the oral history of thousands of years, hundreds and hundreds of years, and brought them together and recorded them, writing them down, and thus became the work of the scribes, the production of manuscripts, the production of writings that have brought those accounts down to through time to us today. A huge change. Again, that's has played out yet. I mean, you look at some societies still today, they tend to be more oral and so on. So the change from handwriting everything to the printing press was an incredible development. That changed society once again. We talk about the Reformation and the time not long before that, when Mr. Gutenberg created the printing press. And you were able to actually take, well, one of the first things that was done was the Bible. Or was it the very first thing? Basically, the first thing that was mass-produced was the Bible. And that began to change. It seeded the great change. It was a major change, but at the same time also. Not so many years after that. Think of Charles Darwin and his book on the origin of the species. Mass-produced it, sent it out, and seeded the minds of a generation and has not changed since then, that time. And so on. So, major changes. Let's not forget that society and our forefathers have seen major changes. Think about the telegraph. Think about the radio and television and all of those changes that were brought into society and the changes in terms of culture as the television came out and the radio, and the change in centralized influences, very powerful, because you could produce programming that would direct thinking very quickly and very regularly, and that has only multiplied upon multiplied with technology, with communicative technology, and the ability to create a riot here in the U.S. and produce the same effect in Bahrain or wherever it is. It's amazing, that ability and that power. So those are, of course, what I'm suggesting here this morning is we do well to remember that we are not the first generation to experience huge changes in culture and by the way we interact as humans, not the first. Other generations have navigated through these challenges, and not only have they stayed faithful and grounded in truth, they have used these developments also to further the cause of Christ. And that is the positive side that we must never forget as well. We can do that as well today. However, there is no doubt that the WWW, the World Wide Web, and the development surrounding that has been fast-moving, and its influences and potential for continued change impossible to measure. That's my opinion. And so, of course, the internet was probably produced by the mainly driven by its need and use in military, and then it was handed over opened up so that others could begin to use it. And yes, it was in my time that Pizza Hut became the first chain to offer food that you could buy online, and that was in 1992. 94 just blew up. And there's other people that can speak much more intelligently about this than me. But 96, 15 million hosts and growing rapidly. And then, of course, Wi-Fi was produced. And now you can connect to the internet most anywhere. The reality is that not one of us can really grasp what has been unleashed upon the world. And in my studies, I come across this gentleman by the name of Buckminster Fuller. He created the knowledge doubling curve. And he noticed that until the 1900s, human knowledge doubled approximately every century. By the end of World War II, human knowledge was doubling every 25 years. Today, things are not quite as simple, as different types of knowledge have different rates of growth. For example, nanotechnology knowledge is doubling every 2 years, and clinical knowledge every 18 months. But on average, human knowledge is doubling every 13 months. And according to IBM, the build-out of the Internet of Things will lead to the doubling of knowledge every 12 hours. Now, I'm reading to you what other men are saying. I don't know if that's true, but reduce it by 10, reduce it by 100, and it's still an amazing phenomenon that has come across society. Knowledge and information that we really can't even handle, and let alone know its source, the intent of its writers, the biases and opinions that will always factor in, there's reason to believe, it helps us, I think, to understand the lack of stability in society, and the lack of stability we can even feel in our own minds. And we don't do all that well with handling that much. So I would like to just go on with a few more thoughts yet in the introduction. We really have no idea where cutting-edge technology is at. There probably isn't any one person who does. And so without trying to sound mysterious or conspiratorial, I think we simply need to acknowledge the fact that there is much that we do not know. And yes, robotic technology and AI development is moving at warp speed. That's my opinion. I think there's a lot that we don't know and understand in that world, and it will become more and more evident as we move forward in society. Again, there's much that we don't know, and AI is a term that we hear more and more of, and as I understand it, it's the layering together of man and machine. Does it have its limits? How much will God allow? Don't know the answer to all of that. I know very little about it, but I personally have some fairly deep reservations about it and how it will impact us in the future. I believe we do well to attempt to look into the future just a little as we think about technology, to bring about some fear, some respect, an awareness of what the world is developing today and where it may lead tomorrow. I think we can never take our eyes off of that. And so, yes, the communicative changes, and that's primarily the way I view this piece. It's technology, it's a tool. But the communicative changes and subsequent technology that has developed out of it has brought a unique test to the disciple of Christ. That, I think, is the core of my concern. We can't get around the fact that many of us are using these tools directly or indirectly. We are benefiting from them and using them in some way or another. We also can't get around the fact that these new tools come with inherent dangers and changes to society and lifestyle that need to be identified and evaluated. And we need to do that. It is a responsibility of all of us. And so, yes, we are faced with a unique test, a serious test, a test that will define us for generations to come, a test that will set the platform, the precedent for the next test that will come. This isn't the end of the test. We haven't sort of now broke through and sort of are in the middle of the test. But there's going to be many more, I think, that will come. And I believe the church and parents absolutely have responsibility in this subject. They have scriptural authority. They will be held accountable in judgment and for how they have carried out this responsibility. So I'd like to just think about church responsibility a little bit and personal or parental responsibility. Hebrews 13:17 says this, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I bring that verse out. First of all, I think we need to understand that all of us, every person in this room, is under authority. We are under authority, and we are called to submit. This verse, I will like this verse because it helps me to understand the responsibility, the correlating authority, and the accountability that is laid upon the church. We see it here in this verse. As we continue on, thinking about the church's responsibility, it was John who wrote these words to us, inspired of God, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 records these words, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And the verse continues on, warning us, those verses do, perilous times shall come. And so, yes, I believe that the church duly ordains, calls out men to lead in all areas of church life. And there's the normal organizational procedures that come with a body, that come with a group, that come with responsibility, that come with a culture, that come with a tradition. We have all of those pieces. They never can be erased. That's all here. And then through the normal procedures, there is a structure produced. And I believe that we have that. I'm In the decrees, we have a section that speaks to technology and how it is that we're going to find our way through this world. It gives us some guardrails. It is not intended to speak specifically to every situation or personal struggle. That's not the intent at all. But it does raise some guardrails up, and it says, here's some concerns, here's what we're not going to do, and those kinds of things. You can find them in the decrees, or yeah, you can find them online as well. They're there. And so overall, I support, you know, what PMC is endeavoring to do in its position to the internet. We recognize the internet is, technology is here to stay. We recognize that it's a tool we can use. We choose to look at it as more as any other advancement in life. Yes. Think about it for anything from, our vehicles and the ability we have to travel. And we choose to see it as other advancements in life and so on. Some uses are very simple, you know, just be able to check your bank account, transfer some funds, buy a pair of shoes. Nowadays, we really don't do too much buying until we've studied it out on the web. That's what we found. That's where it's at. That's where the information's at. That's where the options are at. So we do that. But we recognize the dangers, the entertainment, the possibility to dive into almost every excess and carnality. These dangers have always been near to mankind. Always. Wherever he is. But technology has allowed us to carry these closer than ever. And I think we can all identify to that. I think we can understand that in some way or another. All of this is for myself as well. I feel that way about it. So we draw some lines that we should not cross. And the church is right to identify those lines. There is an accountability, I believe, that the church and its leadership carries in this. Finally, the church, this brotherhood, has defined ways. We're thinking about church responsibility, has defined ways to bring accountability and review to the subject. And so we have the documents that Ernest handed out recently, and members of the congregation, let's fill them out. Let's be honest with those documents and hand them in. It is something that we've agreed to do to help find our way together, to measure how well we're doing. So there's that. And so it's not right that we should have to find our way through this minefield alone. And that's the heart. It's not right, it's not good, and it's a choice that we're making to not do that. We're going to find our way together, and so let's not resist the direction of the body. Let's not resist that, the voice of the assembly in our lives. And we go a little further yet with that, and that is our personal accountability together. Once a month, we have small groups that meet. They talk about a lot of different things. Sure, technology is one of those. Again, I think those are healthy things to do. I'm glad that we're doing them, and I support it. I've seen some groups who have taken the approach of producing an application. In other words, we're going to build our own world out for technology. And I'm not here to lift up or put down. But I'm concerned whenever we produce a program that is supposed to take care of all things internet. In my opinion, it's not a realistic reality and can create an environment where leadership, both parent and church, simply say, we don't need to discuss or wrestle with this. We have a solution. Everybody just do that. We're done talking about it. At the end of the day, it's just not that simple. It's not that simple. We have to wrestle through this together. Finally, as we think about church responsibility, I believe, before I glaze the eyes over of all of you, I believe the supreme call of the church is to keep Christ at the center of it all. There is nothing that can replace the desire in my heart to have an open, peaceful, and at rest relationship with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is nothing that can replace that. And the church will continue to carry that banner high and to help, try to help all of us to answer that question in our own hearts. So God help us with that. There is no accountability, there is no warning, there is no thou shalt not decree that will keep a willful, sinful sinner from his sin. So I think we do well to continue to call out and to lift up verses like 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore, God's telling us to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Beautiful verses. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Sort of want to look at a few verses here as we move into the second point, which is parental responsibility. Ephesians 5. Well, they're just verses of instruction. And I'm going to read 1 through 12. Again, as we think about this battle, finding our way of technology, church, parental, personal, it's all here. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints, nor filthiness, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you through vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye therefore not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world, walk as children of light. But the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. So we have the warnings in these verses. We have the verse where it just brings light to it all. But now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. And to be quite honest, the pressures that surround technology and its ability to project darkness, fear, doubt, distress, questions into our minds, that's a very real, and I believe we can find our way through this. I think we teeter left and right in our personal lives in this, and getting caught up in, well, just even the, but all things that are reproved of them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And if the internet does anything, it publishes the secrets of darkness. And again, I think I need the warning. We all need the warning. Are we making it through that world? Are we able to handle it? Has it overcome us? I think we need to ask ourselves those questions, and I need to continue to ask myself that question. Parental responsibility. First of all, as adults, we're called to lead our homes in the light. And so we must first be partaker of the fruits. We must be first partakers of the fruits of being able to wrestle with and overcome the areas where technology is a snare to us. Again, we recognize already the powerfulness of its use, the toll as we use it, and the blessings that we get from that. I'm accepting of that. I'm not trying to minimize that. But at the same time, we're asking ourselves as parents, if we're going to be hiding dark spots and excesses in the way technology, we're using technology personally, we'll be greatly hampered in our ability to lead our homes. And that's just a challenge that I think we can lay at the feet of every one of us. It's not just on the men's side of the house, it's over here on the sister's side of the house. How much time is that phone in your hand? How much time is it standing between you and your children? How much time does it take from you and your God and your relationship with God? And brothers, we can come right back over here as well. And yeah, I think I personally have found a lot of benefit in using a Bible app and an audio Bible in my own life and disciplining my mind in the early morning hours to listen to think about, to understand the Word of God in my life. I found that to be a blessing. But at the same time, again, the phone is very close, and therein lies the challenge of also the challenge for myself is time wasting. Again, being in a job where most of my activity surrounds phone calls and monitoring things online and handling those things puts a phone in my hand a lot, and it creates a possibility for snippets of news and life and interest things to just flow. And so God help us with that. That, I feel, is a challenge for myself. But if we're going to be hiding dark spots and excesses in the way that we personally use technology, we'll be greatly hampered in our ability to lead our homes. And so God help us, brothers, to keep fighting those battles and finding victory in that. Parental responsibility. We, as parents, we need to submit to accountability in our own lives, to Christ, and to the Spirit that dwells in our temple. Of course, the church, other brothers, our wives, family members, husbands. And no doubt we'll need to make adjustments. And so, yes, I better watch if I pick up my phone during supper time. It just might disappear real fast. I might get my hand slapped, among other things, because it's easy to get distracted and pulled away from. And I need that. It has helped me. I know that it has. And so, husbands and wives, we're going to have to help each other with this. Our other brothers in the church, sisters in the church, absolutely. No doubt we'll need to make adjustments and pull back because technology is like that. It'll just pull you in. That's why. That's why we need to make adjustments. Because it continues to make adjustments to us. That's just the nature of it. Intentionally. Very intentional. That's the nature of it. As parents, we must look at our children and realize that there is no one that we can pass this responsibility off to. There is no one that we can pass this responsibility off to. And I've been very thankful to be able to pick up the phone and call another brother. Call Brother Dwayne. Ask him, how do you use this? That has been a blessing. But there is no one that can replace that responsibility, fathers. There isn't. And I will tell you, you men have picked up a phone because you really needed to figure out how to use a certain application for work or for something you really love to do. Maybe it's hunting. And so you're going to download an app and use it so you can map out all the property lines and you see the topography and you can figure out how to use it and you can move pins around and you can mark where all the good hunting spots are, whatever. You'll figure it out. And I'd like to suggest that we need to be just as motivated to figure out how to use things to help ourselves and particularly our children. And I am not a tech-savvy person. I'm just not. I'm not a millennial. I'm the group before that. I didn't grow up with a phone in my hand. But recently, I was looking for an app to help to control some things, quite simply. And I was suggested to use a particular program. And do you know what I did? I sat down and I figured it out. I figured it out because it really mattered to me. I figured it out because it wasn't anyone else's responsibility to do it. I figured it out because I knew I was accountable before God to do it. And that's what we're going to need to do, brothers, if this is going to work. We're going to need to take the responsibility for ourselves. There is no one else to do it. And so God help us with that. We must realize, number four, we must realize as parents that it's more than just keeping our children out of evil, but rather it's shielding them from the dangerous screen time, disruptive cognitive effects of technology. Anybody feeling like their toes? Anybody feeling like they've wandered off the path in this? We have. And sometimes you feel a little bit like the, like you're not a very good horseman. You sort of jerk the reins back here, jerk them back here, and because we haven't all figured it out. And we feel like there are some excesses in some places. I'm talking about good, better, best. I'm not talking about turning an eye to where there's just evil happening, but just where there is good things. You know, oh, there's no end to the research. I want to figure out how to build this particular engine for the bike. And actually figure it out. But was the time and the exposure and the opportunity to go a whole lot of other places worth it? Those are the things we have to ask ourselves. And some of you men who are sitting there with little children on your laps and haven't really faced it yet with older children in your life, it's something to think about. We must, number five, be willing to make rules and update them. One rule setting isn't going to cut it. We're going to have to keep making changes. I think that's the way it is. And, we've been in a home where it was only mom and dad with a smartphone, and now there's five in our home. There's going to be some changes with that. The decision whether or not cell phones can go into the bedrooms, those kinds of things. Those are things that we wrestle with. We have to make decisions about. There's no one to do that but parents. There's none, no one to do it but us for our children. It's a unique responsibility that we carry, that I carry as a father. I do think we also have to find some balance between being willing to trust but having the ability to verify. I was chided a little bit about this point. I was maybe a little excessive on it. And the brother was a home that had very little technology in it for many, many, many years. And he said, I trusted my sons. And so I think it is possible that we create an environment where we don't have trust either. And so I think that is a fair concern. And so we should try to always be in the position where we can trust our children and have that kind of relationship. I think also as parents, number six, we need to be willing to take technology away from ourselves and our children. Be willing to turn off the phone. And a couple weeks ago, I was preparing for a sermon on a Saturday, and the phone wouldn't let me go. And suddenly I reached over, turned it off, and I left it off for 6 hours. And it was the best thing that ever happened. I was like, oh, why didn't I think of that before? I don't care if it was good, legitimate, necessary things, you know. It was just time to back away. And we need to do that. I don't do it enough. I think we need to do that more. And so we need to be willing to take technology away from ourselves and from our children. And I think we can use it as a discipline tool. As parents, I think we need to go slow and allow limited access for our children. We cannot just throw a filter on a phone and turn it over to a child and a 16-year-old. There's your phone, son, daughter, I just don't think we can. I think it's a terrible thing to do. And so allow limited access, those kinds of things to try to meter in. As maturity builds, maturity and trust builds. So we can't just turn over all the capabilities of a smartphone and expect things to go well. So parents, we need to figure that out in our home and with our children. There are so many resources that we can reach out for in our brotherhood and online. Look, this thing of technology, just moving aside, separating out the evil parts of it and just the use of it, is a problem that any healthy adult understands. And so they're saying, look, how are we going to control this in our home? People who don't even have a knowledge of God in their hearts are asking the question, how can we have family time? How can we have healthy children time? How can our children get their school lessons done? And so there is tremendous resources available online of people who are wrestling with those very things and putting out great ideas that we can use, and we should use them. Three biggest mistakes parents make, wrote one blogger, when it comes to technology is, number one, not setting limits on technology. Number two, not having enough family time activities without technology. Number three, parents are also tech addicts. Three of the big mistakes parents make. And so there's no end to that. How can you handle that? We'll have tech blackouts. Tech rules, you got to put some rules in place. Tech hours, tech spaces. Here's where we use our phones or our technology. Here's where we don't. Ideas. And of course, here's one that I think comes real close home to myself and our family, is stop tech addictions before they start. And so that's the right thing. That is a very noble battle, to try to do that very early on with our children. And so God help us with that. Number nine, I know I've sort of been, I don't know if I've made my points all separate and clear or not, but it all sort of blends together. Number nine, in my belief system, social media is a big concern. That's my opinion. Well, it's not just my opinion. We address it as a church as well, because we see that as being a place where communicative technology and influences far outside of a child's circle comes into the circle, comes closer to the inside, influences and influences and influences and influence far beyond other relationships, good relationships. And so it's a concern. I really think it is. And I think we need to keep battling against it. I understand. We use some social media. That's a very broad term. But we use some of those in our business. And at the end of the day, it just is a different environment generally, because it's not about me and my interest and my world and what I'm presenting to you, so that I can see you and your interest in your world and we can connect on it. That's where the difference lies. And so even mature adults can handle more of that exposure. But when you open that door and let your youth just go out into that world, I think it's a very dangerous place to be. And so as parents, I think we need to be watching that very closely. Final point, parental responsibility. If you still have your Bibles open, here to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Oh. All of us wants to be the wise, and we need the wisdom. Walk circumspectly, not as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We know, again, parents, the battle of the time. because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Be not drunk with the word wine. Let's spiritualize it, because I think God intends us to do that. It's much broader than sipping something that's been fermented out of a cup. It is the wine of this world. It's the sizzle. It's the taste. It's the delight of this world is what's being talked about. And again, technology just brings that so close to us. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So parents, again, we must be awake. And be aware of what is distracting us. Finally, we must show to our children that our joy does not come from the light and dazzle and the wine of this world, but from the light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must show them that. They must see that in mom and dad. They must see that joy in our hearts. Joy comes from a frequency beamed into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, the true wireless communication with the ultimate source of truth, knowledge, and power. As Christians, we have that connection. God help us. May God help us find our way through the challenges of technology. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we bow our knee here before you, and Lord, thank you for the warnings of your word. And Lord, you know our time that we live in. You know the opportunities of it. You know the dangers of it better than any. And I pray that you would help us, give us wisdom. First of all, help us to repent for where we've been careless, where we've come up short, where we haven't led as we should have as parents. Give us wisdom as parents. Give us wisdom as individuals. Also, I pray you'd give us wisdom as a church, as the body, collectively, and as leadership. Lord, I pray that we would be found faithful at the end of our lives as we've come through this time. I pray that we would set a trajectory, a pattern for our children to look at and to emulate and to build off of as they also move forward in your great kingdom work. And so again, Lord, we do pray for wisdom, and I pray you'd help us to be willing to cut off the excesses that so easily develop in our own hearts. Lord, give us a desire for that. Most of all, we pray you'd accomplish your will in our lives, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.